Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Welcome to episode number 399 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. Today we're going to talk about how you can play your best tennis under pressure, which is hugely important. If you feel a drop in your level of play when it really matters and when the pressure is really on, if you play worse, then this episode of the podcast is going to be super critical for you to listen to. And we're going to be talking about a case study between Karu Sell. If you don't know who that is, he's the owner of the YouTube channel My Tennis HQ. My Tennis HQ. If you're not already subscribed to him on YouTube, you really should be. He's currently number 600-something in the world, 632 or something like that in the world on the ATP rankings. And he just, a couple days ago, published a video of himself playing a set against Taylor Fritz, who, as of the recording of this episode, is ranked number 12 ATP. And I'm not going to give away the results, what happened, but Karu played really well, and I would say outperformed. And what really blew me away wasn't so much how well he played, but it was his response, his reaction. And I'm going to get to that in a second, but first I want to kind of set some ideas here, some concepts in place so that we kind of have a scale to be able to talk about these things from. So I've invented, out of thin air, the mental toughness spectrum. And just to be able to kind of define some things and maybe kind of identify where we are in terms of our development in our mental game. So I want you to imagine a line, a continuum, and on the far left side of it is low mental toughness. In the middle is medium mental toughness, and on the far right is high mental toughness. Let's define these really quick, and we'll get to Karu's example. So low mental toughness means that when you start keeping track of score and there's competition involved, you kind of completely fold under that pressure as a tennis player. You become a different player. You slow down your swing speed. You start to become really careful and tentative. Maybe you go back to worse technique that you used to use and you're trying to move away from, but you go back to your weak, bad, inferior technique just because it's more comfortable, and basically everything just goes back to lowest common denominator and you're just playing not to lose. That would be low mental toughness, in my opinion. I'm just making up these categories, but I'm just doing so to illustrate so that we can kind of be on the same page here and talk about the same thing. So medium, so what's in the middle, kind of the middle of the spectrum, is now we have some ability to stay confident in the face of anxiety or pressure or competition, and we are able to use some of our best skills under pressure, but not all of them. And so from this position, we do have some mental toughness, but we can't really reach our full potential when it really matters because we still at least partially revert back to some old habits, or we revert to slowing down and being careful. Maybe it's not to the same degree as before, but we're not quite playing our best game. We're not quite the best version of ourselves because we're allowing the pressure and the stress of the moment to get to us and decrease our performance in the moment. Okay. And then high mental toughness would be somebody who actually performs better under pressure and with some anxiety sprinkled in. They actually raise their level to the occasion. And all your skills are available to you at this level. Like, it doesn't matter. And by the way, this isn't to say that everything's always perfect all the time. You're still going to have up days and down days. Like, there's still going to be kind of an average, rolling average of highs and lows. And some days, like, your serve is going to be more on than other days. And like, that's never going to stop. Like, hopefully you don't misunderstand me here. But on average, you're able to pick from any tool you have in your toolbox and actually fully use it instead of the situation kind of handcuffing you and removing your ability to fully perform at your best. Okay, so just kind of picture that in your mind. Low mental toughness, medium mental toughness, high mental toughness. Now, important to point out, please don't conflate low, medium, high with level of play. Now, there does tend to be a connection. Like, in general, somebody who's a very, very high-level tennis player will generally have better mental toughness than somebody who's just starting off in tennis, but not always. Sometimes it could be the opposite. So if you, you know, kind of picture the whole range of ratings of player, I'll use here in the United States, we have the NTRP rating system, aka USTA rating system, and it goes from 1 to 7. And 2-5, 2, like around 2 is basically beginner. 3-5 is an average tennis. That's like the most common rating level is the 3-5. 4-5 would be an advanced player. And 6-7, like 6.0 is Karu. That's like a world-class player, a professional player. Now, it's important to point out that you can be an advanced level player, like you can be a 4-5 rated player and have very low mental toughness. Trust me, I have seen that player many, many times over the last 30 years that I've been in the game of tennis. And it's also very possible to be a beginner but have very high mental toughness. If maybe you competed at something else, you were an athlete that played at a high level, some other discipline or some other sport, and you're going over to tennis, your tennis skills might be very low, but your mental toughness could be very high. So please, I just want to point out, like, it's not the same thing. Like, just because you're a high mental toughness competitor doesn't mean you're a high level tennis player. And the reason why that is mental toughness is just one of the big four pillars that determines who wins and who loses. The other three are technique, like AKA quality of how you move your body and how you swing the racket, fitness and conditioning, and also strategy and tactics. And then the mental game is number four. So you could have a very, very high level mental game and very low ability in all the other three pillars and not be a very good tennis player. And on the other side of the coin, you could have very, very low mental toughness and have fantastic technique and incredible fitness and super intelligent, like, strategy and tactics, and be a very, very good tennis player, but still, like, really struggle with the mental game. And speaking from experience, like, not that I was, like, I've never been, like, world-class in any of those things. However, in college, as a personal anecdote, my technique was okay. My fitness was stellar. My strategy was good. My mental game for big chunks of my college career was really, really poor. In other words, like, I underperformed in that one pillar. And that, in a way, kind of makes everything, like, it makes it really a lot worse, because it's like, on paper, I should be a really good tennis player getting really good results, but I keep getting worse results and worse results because the mental game is not very developed. So that can be a really difficult spot to be in, just speaking from experience. Okay, so back to Karu's set against Taylor Fritz. And again, go subscribe to Karu. Again, My Tennis HQ. He doesn't know I'm doing this this episode. Hopefully, he gets a bunch of new subscribers because of it. But make sure to watch that set against Taylor Fritz. And you'll see that he played, like, his fitness, his strategy, his technique was super on point. And he played I would personally say that, and I haven't asked him directly this question yet, but I think he would say that he kind of overperformed against Taylor in that setting. But what jumped out at me the most was his own personal reaction to the outcome. When you watch the video, you'll see that he keeps downplaying the importance of the results. Now, he's got over 100,000 subscribers. Like, his videos have been doing really well recently. So you can see him, he's actually telling his audience, like, guys, relax, relax. Like, this isn't that big of a deal. And the reason why he says it's not that big of a deal is because he says it's just a practice set. And he repeats this several times. Like, guys, don't get too, you know, euphoric, guys, or get too excited here. Like, we just played a practice set. Now, let's talk about that, because I find that reaction to be rather profound, because the environment that Karu had that result in against Taylor would have terrified 99% of tennis players out there. I mean, just think about it for a minute. There was a camera. Both players, Kaoru mentioned that Taylor agreed to being recorded and being able to use the content. So both players knew the camera was out there and they knew it was being recorded. That alone would completely explode the games of a huge chunk of tennis players out there. So there's that. Then both players, you know, in the back of their minds, know that if this gets published to the internet, tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of people might see it. That's number two. Number three, kind of on a personal level, Kaoru's working really hard to level up his game, kind of make it on the tour. He's making a run at trying to become a professional tennis player. And I think previously when he tried, the highest he reached was like 300, something in the world. He's like 600 now. So the ramifications here, psychologically and emotionally, potentially are really big for Kaoru, because this is like a big measuring stick, right? Like, he's pushing and working and training to try to be able to play against this caliber of player. And of course, emotionally, psychologically, he wants this outcome to be super positive. That would be fantastic, right? He's got a lot invested. Way more, by the way, than any of us have ever experienced. Way more investment, you know, personally and monetarily and physically. And so that could add a lot of pressure to Kaoru. And then on the flip side, Taylor Fritz could really potentially, in real life, really, really not want to lose, especially on camera, to this YouTube guy, to somebody who's way lower ranked than he is. Taylor right now is number 12 in the world, and Kaoru is number 600 something. He doesn't want to lose. That's like, he's a professional tennis player. Like, he's got his whatever amount of like pride and ego that he'd really rather probably defend, and probably would rather win this set very convincingly and frankly just roll over Kaoru in this set. And so layer all those together and be honest, put yourself in that situation with the same factors. How would it make you feel on the court? Just kind of sit in that for a second, knowing it's recorded, knowing 100,000 people might see it, knowing that you're working so hard to make it and level up your game, knowing that this other player is way lower ranked than me and I want to defend, you know, the ranking that I have. Just think about that for a second. And Kaoru's reaction is, guys, it was just a practice set. But the reality is there's some really significant factors at play here. But it doesn't seem to have really affected Kaoru. In fact, he's saying like, relax. It's not a big deal. So I happen to know a little something about this because for over a decade, I've been recording myself while I coach and recording myself while I play and publishing it to the internet. And hundreds of thousands, millions of people have seen me coaching and playing now. More so coaching than playing, but for sure, hundreds of thousands of people have seen me play tennis. And over that time, I've personally grown in my own mental toughness a ton because I've had to face the pressure and the anxiety of cameras being there and knowing that viewers are going to see it and they're going to be judging me. And if, by the way, if you don't believe that makes a big difference, then just watch any of our matches where we have frequently players that are way higher level than me and much more accomplished, you know, competitors. And player after player that I have as a guest on the channel competing says, wow, I've played high level college tennis and junior tennis, and man, I've felt a lot of pressure with these cameras on and like knowing that the internet is going to see this. It adds a huge degree of pressure, which is great training grounds or not, which we'll talk about in a second. So what's fascinating about all of this is that the same environment can affect different players completely differently. Somebody who didn't play competitive junior tennis, didn't play high school competition, didn't play college competitive tennis, and now maybe has picked up the sport as an adult and, you know, has played in some leagues or like at their club, but that's really the extent of it. That type of player is going to be hugely affected by playing on camera, where they know tens of thousands of people are going to see the outcome. Like, that's a gigantic factor, because they've just never experienced that level of pressure before on a tennis court. Now, somebody like me or other players that have played on my channel who have played high school tennis, played college tennis, played junior tennis, we still get affected by it. And like, for me personally, like I totally still get a big pump of adrenaline and excitement every time I walk out onto the court to play a set when all the cameras are there. Yeah, there's the commentators, you know, there doing commentary. And it, in the past, it's definitely caused me to play worse than my best tennis, because I've kind of struggled to get my heart rate under control, and like my excitement kind of spins out of control, and I get tight and I can't play well. But now, after years of it, I've experienced it enough times that I actually really enjoy it. And I honestly look forward to it, because it's such a cool, unique experience to be able to feel those things and play and test myself under that pressure. But that's only come through experience. And then somebody like Karu, who has played for way, 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 way higher stakes than 99.9% of us ever will. The environment we just talked about with a camera and the YouTube audience and even a top-level pro, I mean, a top, top-level pro across the net from him, wasn't enough to knock him off his game. In fact, I would say there's probably a really high chance that he played better than average in that set against Taylor Fritz because of the dynamics of the camera being there and his opponent on the other side being pumped up to play against somebody who's like a top pro to like test himself. And meanwhile, on the other side, Taylor's like, meh, you know, like he's been in the spotlight on the world stage for many years. And so for him, he doesn't care about, you know, YouTube or like, you know, 100,000 subscribers. Like, it's just another day at the office for him. I mean, there's days that he competes, you know, for like hundreds of thousands of dollars are on the line, and tens of thousands of people paid tickets, like bought tickets and paid money to go watch him. Like, that's a whole different level. And so notice how there's these different degrees of pressure, and depending on how far you've made it up that ladder, different environments and different criteria and factors can affect different people wildly different. So if you're not Karu and you haven't played, you know, high level competitive tennis, whatever that means to you, and maybe right now you feel like you're closer to the bottom of the mental toughness spectrum than the top, how can we move up? How can we move up that ladder and perform a little bit better under pressure? And then a little bit better under pressure. Well, the solution, in my opinion, lies in one of my favorite coaching principles. And I've referred back to this so many times over the years in my coaching. It really is a huge North Star for me. In all things, frankly, technique and the mental game and fitness and frankly, anything in life where there's degrees of excellence or mastery, this has been hugely helpful to me. And I refer to it as the concentric circles of learning. Imagine like a dartboard with, you got your bullseye right in the middle, and you have different other circles, like larger circles and then larger circles outside of that. So this, just imagine like this diagram has three layers of circles. In the very center, the bullseye is comfort. It's your comfort zone. This is what you're used to currently in terms of level of physical stress and strain, level of technical stress and strain, level of mental stress and strain, like how much pressure and anxiety you're feeling, like how many outside elements there are, like adding pressure on top of already just wanting to win for yourself. Your comfort zone is just staying right in the middle of what you're used to in all of those different elements. You're just another day at the office, like we were describing for Taylor Fritz, except that his another day at the office is like wild, is like crazy for us, right? It's all relative. Then just outside the comfort zone is our learning zone. So this is like 10 or 20% outside of what we're comfortable with is where we can experience growth. because we're no longer doing what's comfortable, but it's just uncomfortable enough that we can remain present and kind of in control of what we're doing, and we can learn tremendous lessons while we're in the learning zone. Makes sense, right? Then outside the learning zone is the panic zone. This is where the level of stress and the level of challenge is so high that we essentially just go to fight or flight, and we just go to like an instinctual, like kind of protective, oh crap kind of state. And now we have no ability to be present or conscious or aware of what we're doing, and it's just survival. And we're just fighting to just make it through another second of whatever level of stress or pressure we're under. Again, might be physical, might be technical, might be mental. We can be in the panic zone, and all of those areas are just one of them. And so the secret to growth and continuing to improve your mental game is to consistently put yourself in your learning zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, it's just like physical fitness. If you don't ever stress your muscles or your heart or your lungs, at least a little bit, your fitness will never, ever improve. You'll just maintain. You'll just plateau forever. Or like if you don't do anything, then you'll obviously decline. A comfort zone will just maintain. You have to leave your comfort zone and do something uncomfortable for there to be growth, both in fitness and in technique and in the mental game. And unfortunately, a lot of tennis players, frankly, they just prioritize enjoyment. And there's nothing wrong with that. If your primary thing that you're getting out of the game of tennis is enjoyment, or socializing or exercise or whatever, then it doesn't make any sense to leave your comfort zone at all. You're just, because not a lot of people, it's a kind of a unique thing where somebody enjoys being outside of their comfort zone. I've been doing this long enough, on the internet that I'm weird. Like, I enjoy leaving my comfort zone. And my comfort zone is different than probably your comfort zone. And my comfort zone is also wildly different than Karu's comfort zone. He's a way more developed, competitor than I am. And if you didn't play college or high school or junior tennis, then more than likely, I'm probably more developed competitor than you are. And if you want to improve and get closer to Karu, then it's just a matter of leaving your comfort zone significant amount of time, once in a while even. It will at least keep the needle moving in the right direction. I'm not going to get into details on how to do that specifically today. I just wanted to kind of talk about top line, conceptual stuff here today, create kind of the framework. Hopefully this is super helpful for you. If it has been, and you'd like to support the podcast, please do me a favor and go to diademsports.com. Use code ET15 and you can get 15% off grips and rackets and strings and bags and shoes and tennis balls and literally everything you need to play great tennis. Diadem's quality and customer service is excellent. I've been super, super impressed with them. I've been using their rackets and strings and balls for years now. Highly recommend them. And by the way, 15% off tennis balls is really hard to find. So if you need cases of balls for teaching or for match play or whatever, their shipping is super fast, and it's really tough to beat that deal. The extra duty hard court balls, I've play tested them with other high level players, 5-0 plus level players, and the Diadem extra duty felt is really, really excellent. So if you're looking for great balls and a discount and fast shipping, go to diademsports.com. Use code ET15. It helps support the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time. For more free game-improving instruction, be sure to check out EssentialTennis.com, where you'll find hundreds of video, audio, and written lessons. Also, be sure to subscribe to Essential Tennis on iTunes and YouTube, where we are the number one resource in the world, providing passionate instruction for passionate tennis players. Thank you so much for listening today. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.